step by day, I'm on the road to recovery, trusting God along the way, trusting God along the way, trusting God all the way.
Hello. All right, it's on. I think we're going to get started as the last few trickle in. Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is Lexi. Thank you all for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise and might slash will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on this step study tonight. Is everybody ready? Start the meditation. If you would now join me in the foglight prayer. It is not on your projector tonight and maybe on the seat in front of you. So for those who know it, God, let your love shine through me like a foglight, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. From There Is a Solution, from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. Tonight I have asked Rich to come up and read the spiritual experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it is a little bit important to know what one is. Everyone welcome Rich.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rich. I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, Rich.
Spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change significant to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of a sudden, spectacular upheaval. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought up by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness is a power greater than ourselves is the essence of the spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that the alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance and belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thank you, Rich. All right. Whoa. Please refrain. Very loud. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane mode or just turn them off. Without further ado, it is my honor and privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. She is a woman that has brought light and growth into my own life, and I feel privileged to have known her and to know her. On our sixth session tonight, Miss Marion.
This is a good step to fall apart on up here. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Marion. I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, Marion.
Yikes, I got so much stuff I need to have with me. I'm like a kid with pockets. You know all the little good luck charms you carried? This is what I do. I don't know about this water, though. I'm going to put it down here. Step six in the real big sanctuary. That's going to be interesting. No, just teasing. Marion, I'm a recovered alcoholic. My sobriety date is November 11th, 1989. I want to welcome anybody who's new to the Rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm just going to get myself together here. Good one. Get myself together. That's a good punchline for step six. As soon as I get myself together. We've been on quite a journey, and I It's interesting how you know, I think about how I can try to present myself at times, you know, to act like I've got it together, or that we present ourselves, you know, that we're not nervous or we're not scared, or am I skinny enough, or am I not smart enough, and do I know the big book enough, like all these things, these expectations we can put on ourselves. Mostly, you know, a lot of that stuff for me just comes from the inside. And it was interesting because I'll just tell stories too, you know, but we had Fellowship of the Spirit next door and in here in June of last year, and I wore this dress, and it was so cool. But what was interesting, I wore this dress and I wore my hair down, and I realized on my way down here tonight, like last time I wore this dress, there was like a lot of character defect stuff going on in all of us that were putting this thing together, and some of that stuff was working against each other and some of that stuff was working for each other, and it was beautiful. But the interesting thing was I wore this dress, and you're like, why did she mention the dress? But there's a button on the back of this dress, and like the underneath of my hair wrapped around like super tight around this button, and it took like four people to unwrap it, and I was stuck in this dress. I'm like, oh my God, you know. And why I say that too is I kind of like my hair, and one of the reasons I kind of like my hair is because I can hide behind it. And so it was an interesting talk with God from Boca through traffic to Fort Lauderdale tonight about, pull your hair back, Marian. And interestingly enough, that's what step six is about for me. And I think for all of us, it's, you know, if I only present, you know, my sponsor talks about, you know, sometimes, you know, they used to say, fake it till you make it. And my sponsor loves this. She's a woman that suffered with a lot of depression in her life. And she sponsors more women than anybody I've ever seen. And one of the things she says is, sometimes, Marian, we just have to act better than we feel. You know, and what I've done in my life and the noticing around that is sometimes if I'm full of fear and I walk through that fear, or if I'm, you know, if I'm angry and I do the opposite, or if I'm jealous and I do the opposite, and these things, sometimes I need to act better than I feel. And what's happened for me in that experience is that when I do that, usually what'll happen is some prayer. Like, God, help me to act better than I feel. God, help me to show up when I don't feel like showing up. God, help me to pull my hair back and feel like I can be vulnerable with every... I mean, it might be a simple thing to you. You know, I mean, it might sound crazy, but you know, these ways we can, you know, I can't wear this dress because it's too tight and they're going to see my fat belly, or, you know, just these things. And they're outside things anyway. You know, it's like usually what happens to me before I do a talk is I do a lot of prayer. I spend a lot of time with God. I work with books and you know, things like that. And the biggest thing I'll stress out, and I still feel like I made the wrong choice tonight because I feel like taking my shoes off, but, you know, I'll obsess about what I'm going to wear and how my makeup's going to look. And it's all those things that I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth at any given moment, but I'm going to try to control something around me so that I can present well, you know? And so that's just the deal, you know? It's like we have alcoholism. We don't have alcoholism. We have these things that we get to take to God. And, you know, it goes into that. You know, I got to spend a little time at the beach this afternoon and some time with God. And, you know, it even touches on this stuff in our third step. It touches on this stuff in our first step. It touches on this, on six on in one, you know? Admitted I'm powerless over alcohol and that my life is unmanageable. You know, that I can't manage my life. I can't, you know, that I needed a director, that I needed something else to take over these things in my life. And even in step, you know, one, when it's saying that I'm powerless over alcohol, my life's unmanageable, you know, to be able to look at step six and look at the ways that I want to control and I want to manage my defects, and it's still me playing God in life, you know. One short line in the big book, you know, lack of power is my dilemma, with power no dilemma. And the deal is the more I build this relationship with God, the more I rely on this God, the more I turn back to God, the more that this God inside of me. See, I could come and lie, and I could cheat, I could steal, I could do all these things in recovery. I could do it all day long, you know. But the deal is what happens is we grow in our maturity and our relationship with God. Those things that I used to be able to do, I can't get away with anymore. You know, I can't get away with them anymore. And don't, by any stretch of the imagination, do I do any of that perfect. But, you know, how free do I want to be today? How much of my alcoholism goes back to, you know, dishonesty or selfishness or resentment or any of these things, or gossip or things like that, you know? It's crazy. And, you know, and also being able to look at that some of these things, when my character is in God's hands, you know, when my character is in God's hands, the exchange is amazing. The exchange is amazing. And being able to look at the other side of that stuff and being able to be a woman that can, you know, hold her head up high and not have to hide behind corners and not have to present my stage character as Marion Super Circuit speaker in a podium, and then behind closed doors I'm lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, you know, prideful, angry, greedy, gluttony, lustful, envious, and slothful, and all the other things that go along with that, you know. And and the interesting thing that came to me this week about this is that, you know, God's grace is free. You know, God's grace is free. By God's grace, I'm here. You know, and God's love is free. And God's not waiting on me to be a little bit more together. And God's not waiting for me to wear my hair back and be vulnerable any minute. Whatever. You know, God's not waiting for me to clean my crap up so I can get better. And if you're new to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, welcome. You know, with a broken tooth and a bottle of booze in the car and whatever that is, God, it's just welcome. It's just welcome. And when it comes to my character defects today, you know, I can, you know, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I can't wish those things away. You know, I can't wish those things away. But what I can do is, by the grace of God, and I don't know which one comes first. You know, I don't know which one comes first, and I don't know, you know, it's kind of like trying to explain, did the chicken come first or the egg come first? You know, I know that the only way that my character defects are removed are by the power of God. Are by the power of God. And what I mean by the egg and the chicken is that, is it that or in my seeking? In my seeking God, in my character defects, in my seeking wholeness in that area. Now, does God do it because I'm seeking, or does God do it just because God does it? Like, I don't understand any of that stuff. So, I'm going to talk a little bit right now about the big book and some six and seven stuff that's in how it works. The first requirement is that we be convinced any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we're almost always in collision with something or somebody. Even though our motives are good, man, I had such good motives. And even still today, I can like, oh yeah, I gotta get my in on this, and I gotta get my in on this conversation. And I'm an interrupter in meetings. I do it, you know, sitting in a business meeting or something like that. You know, it's like, I gotta say this right now. Most people try to live by self-propulsion, but each person's like an actor who wants to run the whole show. He's forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everyone, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actors sometimes quite virtuous. I'm virtuous, right? Come on, people, give it to me. No, I'm just kidding. No. But yeah. So, I'm joking. Because my last time through these steps, I got about 30 character defects that were brought to my mind. Were brought to me by someone. And I mean 30. I counted them on the way here. And I carry them in my big book in a little slip of yellow paper that was so graciously written for me. And I'm telling you, I sat on this thing for a couple days, and it ticked me off. I was like, are you kidding? That looked kind of Brooklyn, didn't it? I think I got that from Pete. Dang, I had it. Wow. You know, this person I have shared my fifth step with, another experience for me, a different experience than with my sponsor. And I've given them spiritual permission to look at my life. I've given them spiritual permission to look at my life, to share that fifth step with, to share that honesty with, to take a look at it from, you know, solitary self-appraisal seldom suffices. Well, what I want to think of myself is that I'm kind and I'm generous and I... You know, and all those things are a part of who I am, and they're a part of who I am because that's who God's made me to be. But that doesn't mean I'm not a drunk who can fall back in that stuff. When you hurt my pride, when you hurt my self-esteem, when you hurt my ambitions, when you hurt my pocketbook, when you hurt me, when you do those things, you know, I'm going at it. When you mess with my kids, you know, when you mess with my sponsees, when you mess with, you know, that stuff, that stuff comes up for me, you know? And I think it comes up for all of us. And so, you know, God doesn't let me come here tonight on step six and present a stage character and go through the big book methodically and tell you how rosy and sunny and beautiful step six is, because some of it, hopefully, when those character defects, when we get to look at them, hurt a little bit. Because I was mad. I was mad. You know? And what was that, guys? I want, you know, no matter what, when we're sharing step five with somebody, I've been sober 29 years. Every time I do it, it's like a little piece of me. It's like, I can't let them know this. And what if they do know this? And what if they do know this about me? You know, and what is that fear anyway? You know, what is that fear anyway that I'm going to... This list right here of 30 character defects has really helped me. It has helped me. And it has not only helped me, it has helped the women I sponsor. And that's what this is about. Because when they can see mine, because I'm telling you, I do that transparent as I can. And whether that's right or whether that's wrong, that's just the way I do it. You know? And because And what I realized in that present, in that thing, was I can take this and I can go. I can go. Who are you, Marion? Oh, my God. You say you're sober? You say you're working a program? You say this? You say, you know, and I can turn that inward and I can, and I did. I did for a couple days, man. And I had to get some help. I had to get some help to get out of that place because my pride didn't want anybody else to see that. So, and this, God, I hated this piece, but I love it today. He may be kind and considerate and patient and generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean. Okay, you can't tell me that any of us are shy of being mean. Like, in my thoughts, maybe not in my actions, but in my thoughts, like, oh my God, look at her, Becky, or whatever, you know? Look at her butt, you know? Or whatever it is, you know? And where those thoughts can come from, you know? That, you know, here's one thing that happens in super sobriety after having a few years. It's like, you know, switching from elder statesman to bleeding deacon. Well, you know, just let me show up and I'll straighten their butts out, you know, things like that. You know, I don't want to be, that's the thing about the edges. I don't want to be that person today. And in my heart of hearts, in who I am, with everything I am, I want to live a life that pleases God. I want to live a life that pleases God. And I want to be, you know, I want to be, I don't only want to be, I have got to be a woman. I have all of my sobriety. I have got to be a woman that can look herself in the eye. I have to. It has been that way the whole time. And yeah, stuff like this, like 30 character defect lists. I'm like not going to share all 30 with you because I'm not that vulnerable. But I'm going to share some of them with you. And so, and the deal is like, how free do I want to be? How free do I want to be in this stuff? And managing control my own life, managing control, you know? So on the other hand, maybe mean, egotistical. Oh my God, one of my biggest things is I can't stand ego. But dude, what am I doing? If I'm not wanting to show this, where's my ego at, you know? I mean, that's us. We're egomaniacs with low self-esteem. We are grandiose and poop under somebody's shoe from a cow farm, you know? We're all that at this exact same time, you know? And early on in sobriety, that's like some of the most beautiful stuff I ever learned, was just to be able to look the world in the eye and know that I was no better than anybody else and that I was no less than anybody else. I am no better than anybody else and I am no less than anybody else. But guess what? If I'm looking at somebody that I think, oh, they're egotistical, maybe there's something a little bit of me that I got to look at. Because how many times do they say that? Oh my God, the old adage where, you know, you point a finger at someone else and there's three fingers pointed back. Yikes. So I might be mean, I might be egotistical, I might be selfish, and I might be dishonest. But as with most human, he's more likely to have varied traits. I have varied traits. Hope you guys still like me after this. If you don't, that's okay too. Just teasing. Having fun with this. So what usually happens? The show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think life doesn't treat him right. He decides to exert himself more. He becomes on, or she becomes on the next occasion, still more demanding or more gracious, as the case may be. Still the play doesn't suit her. Admitting she may be somewhat at fault, she is sure that other people are more to blame. She becomes angry, indignant, and self-pitying. What is the basic trouble? Is he not really a self-seeker even when trying to be kind? Oh my God, that was like the story of my life. Self-seeker when trying to be kind. Get you to do what I wanted you to do and how I could get my credit for that. I could feel like, oh God, you should see how many people I'm sponsoring. And they're all doing so amazing. And we should all go to coffee together and get our picture taken together. And I'm going to be in the middle because, after all, I sponsor them. You know, see, it's just so ridiculous the way that we, you know, yeah, how working on those character defects, how's that working for you, Marion? You know? What is the basic trick? I like the pictures of my sponsors, actually. What's his basic trouble? Is he not really a self-seeker even when trying to be kind? Is he not a victim of the delusion that he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if he only manages well? Oh, my God. Is it not evident to all the rest of the players that these are the things he wants? And do not his actions make each of them wish to retaliate, snatching all they can get out of the show? Is he not, even in his best moments, a producer of confusion rather than harmony? Are actors self-centered, egocentric, as people like to call it nowadays? And then it goes on to the Florida sunshine, like all of us know. If the rest of the world would only behave, the outlaw safecracker who thinks society has wronged him, and the alcoholic who has lost all and is locked up. Whatever our protestations are, most of us concerned with ourselves, our resentments, our self-pity. Selfishness and self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of what we talked about last week, 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. So, it goes on, guys. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And so I'm looking at this stuff this week. And I'm going to go here. So it's almost like we harbor this hope that we can control our defects, right? And the deal is this. Per this list, okay? I can't heal, and I can't take to God things that I don't acknowledge. So what happens is in an inventory is these things are broke down, right? Some of that was about fear. Some of that was about sex relations. Some of that was about resentments. And some of that was about harms done, right? So when you take these little character defects, little, big, whatever, depends on the day and the time, when you take each one and you apply it to those different things, this is what this person did for me, okay? So, so when I can acknowledge it, that's when I can take it to God. And until I can do that, what happens inside of me is those character defects control me. Does that make sense? Sorry about that. So the defects are in me, and the defects are controlling me, and these defects are destroying me, and others around me. Here's the deal. Guess what? It's another people around me. You know, if I'm full of fear, if I'm full of jealousy, or if I'm competitive, or if I'm any of these things, it's hurting people around me. And guess what? When God's asking us, when God's bringing these things to our attention, and God, I got a hanky, honey. Thank you, though. I got a hanky from Pete. The one I bought him. Maybe it's an insult. He gave me a hanky that I bought him. Now, are you with me on that? I buy him this hanky, pocket hanky, and he gave it back to me so I could use it tonight. So that means he doesn't like it. Just trying to be real with you guys. So when I take these things to God in prayer, these things can have a direct encounter with God's love. God's already forgiven me of it anyway, right? So So in step three, I'm saying, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness. I don't know what those difficulties are. These are difficulties, guys. These are difficulties. And why are these difficulties? Because these are the difficulties that are going to block me from you, that are going to push me away from you. And I'm telling you, every time as I practice step seven, and that's getting a little ahead, but I want to stay right in here in the wheelhouse of six tonight, you know, that when I can take those to God, and when I can take my stuff on a daily inventory, which is 10, you know, in a nightly review, and I can look at that stuff and where my character defects are showing up in my life, you know, God can smooth out the edges. He's the only one who can. I can't do that. And there's people that believe, you know, that, and there's just different schools for thought. Like, I know people that take two a week to God. Which ones are you dealing with, or whatever? And that happens too. And I'm not saying that's right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm absolutely not the master of this, but have you ever done this? Okay, so my biggest character defect is jealousy. That is the top of my list. And it is something that I've dealt with my whole entire life. My absolute whole entire life as a little girl. Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to lose something I got, or I'm not going to get something I want. My whole entire life. And some of these things we carry with us, it's like trying to lose my left leg, trying to be free of that. But have you ever had a character defect that was glaring and you just tried to not feel that way, or tried to know, I'm going to control this jealousy. I'm not going to feel that at this moment. But what happens on the other side of that, it's like when we're going to take this step and we're going to turn that stuff over and we're going to give it to God, then we get to get the attributes of that. You know, we get to get the opposite of jealousy. We get to get trusting. We get to get kindness. We get to get, you know, oh man, do I have to tell that, God? Okay, I will. I got really jealous one time, like years and years and years ago, and I had planted some plants in a boyfriend's yard, and I caught him cheating on me years and years ago. And I was ticked. And so I went over there with my car, and I got a shovel, and I dug up all these plants, and there was dirt everywhere, and you know, I mean, it was just like this, that, you know, that it's the, our big book describes that as the worst of human emotions. Now, I don't know if you're, please tell me somebody else has felt this emotion, okay? Like, it's gross. It's awful. It's, like, horrible. And it is 99.9% of the time not justified. For me, it isn't, you know? It's not. In this certain case, it was. And I had all these plants in the back of my trunk. I had dirt all over, and he pulls up with the girlfriend, you know? I was like, seriously? Are you kidding me? You know? So that just goes to show. But that feeling inside of how I feel when I feel this. And it goes back to one thing, and it's nothing but fear. It's fear. I'm not enough. I'm going to be alone. I'm going to die. You know, it's like this whole range of emotions, you know. Oh, please, Lord, don't let. So I happen to think my partner is very handsome, and he happens to be a very spiritual man, and he happens to speak from podiums, and he's a bit of a guru in people's eyes, and women and men alike adore him. And I'm telling you, if I see a woman in a line and she's giving him a fifth step in that line, I'm pissed. Oh God, I said that in the holy land of God. I'm so sorry. And this is where, if I'm spiritually fit and I'm good and I got my spiritual muscles, I'm cool. But if I'm not, and I'm happen to be feeling, if I'm tired and I'm feeling fat that night and I'm like, you know, insecure that night and we just, you know, whatever, this is where my head will go. Woman, fifth step, in line, she's tall and skinny, I'm fat, she's got money, I don't, she lives in California, I don't, you know, I mean, it's like, this is where this stuff grows. You know, is anybody with me on that, or did I just absolutely, should have taken that to my sponsor? No. Believe me, she hears it, though. Believe me, she hears that. But one of the things, I mean, this man adores me. I have never been treated better than ever in my entire life. There is never a reason to have suspicion. There is never a reason for any of that. But this is alcoholism, okay? This is these things that that I get to go with to God with. These are the things I get to do. You know, I have a. You didn't put this one on there, Mike Chase, but you know, I tend to run a little late, a lot. Okay, kids. Tend to run late. But here's this thing too, you know, where it's like, you know, that our defects are, you know, I can justify the crap out of that. See, I'm from the Pacific Northwest and I'm part Native American and I spend a lot of time with the Native Americans. And they have this thing called Indian time. So I can justify I'm late. Well, Marion's on Indian time. Just give her grace, you know? She's just on Indian time. Native American time. I hope that doesn't. It's. I love them all. I love us all. We're all one child of God. But guess what that is? Like, I get. That's me justifying being like, oh, and you know what my family did one time? This was a good one. So, I'm late. I have a reputation in my family for being late. And so, this one time my son was having this dinner at his house. And I'm showing up, and I'm running a little late. I pull up in front of Jake's house, and there's all these people on the front porch, and they're screaming at me. Some of them are going, hurry, come in, come in, come in, come in. And some of them are going, stop, stop, wait, wait. Come in, stop, wait. And I'm like, what the heck are they doing? So I get in the front door, and they had made a bet. And they had all, like, placed a time of when I was going to show up. And so depending on when I walked in the door was who's going to win the money, right? You know? And, I mean, tonight, too. I mean, that's a deal, right? I'm, like, change the clothes a couple times, whatever. I'm coming. I got to leave Boca at 5:30. Or, yes, I got to do this to get through traffic and get down here, and then I can't find my keys. And I'm like, Peter, I'm like, where's my keys? And I'm like, God, why does this always happen? I fully intend on being on time, you know? It's just that thing, you know? It's like, even in some of the stuff where it's opposite, you know? And here's the thing about time. Like, I really do try. And sometimes it's like, oh, I'm trying to get on time. And then it's like, oh, I got to take the garbage out. And oh, my, da, 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 da. Oh, I forgot to close the door or whatever, you know? But the deal about being late for me is like, that's kind of disrespectful to the people I'm going to go see. It's kind of selfish. It's kind of not okay. It's kind of not cute on Indian time. Okay, I'll make amends to those guys over there. Wednesday, 10 o'clock, not 10:20. No, whatever, right? And, oh, and here's another good one. Here's another good one, procrastination. Okay, so I can take, like, procrastination. And I can say, well, I'm just better working under pressure. I'm better working under pressure. But no, what I'll do is I'll put it off to the last minute, but I'm really good at working under pressure, under the gun. Why? Because I get this adrenaline and I get this thing that goes on inside of me. But here it is again, where it's like it's going to cause a trouble with you, because if I'm, oh my God, I was late for a meeting today. Oh, crud. Sorry, Rich. Oh, goodness. So, anyway, so if I procrastinate something and I have a responsibility with someone and I'm supposed to have something done, it's not really cool if somebody's leaning on me, hey, did you take care of that yet? Hey, did you take, yeah, I'm going to get to it. You see what I mean? It's like we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Well, just because I walk in the room and I'm a little late and I have a big smile on my face and you think I'm loving and kind, which I am, because God's made me that way, it's still not okay to be disrespectful to people. Does that make sense? So, here's a couple other ones. I'm not going to go to that. So, I'm competitive. Oh, God, you should say, we invented a game. There's my team over there. We play yoga ball. You guys ever played yoga ball? Yoga ball is a kickball game. You play with the yoga ball. You can play it in the front yard. You have trees as bases. It's just like the old days of sandlot, you know? So if I'm competitive, it's great to be competitive, but is it really great to be competitive if I cheat? Well, we had three referees. Or umpires, it's umpires in yoga ball, right? Or if I'm competitive, meaning, wow, that woman's a better speaker than I am, or I'm better than her, then that's my pride and that's my ego, right? In other words, I can take that as an asset, right? I can just say I'm ambitious, right? So I can be judgmental. Because after all, I'm 59 years old, I'm 29 years sober, and I've earned the right to be judgmental. Yikes. No. To be non-judgmental. Hypersensitivity. Okay, so... Thanks, my dad. Some of the great things that, okay, so hypersensitive, sensitive, emotionally sensitive. So some of those things without the edges, okay? So I'm the kind of person, I'm a bit of an empath. And if I walk in a room and somebody's sad or somebody's lonely or whatever, it's like I can almost feel that right straight in my heart, right away. And some of that can be really great. Some of that can feel amazing. Like, I know God's made me that way. When And that's a piece of who I am. Like, when I turn that to God, when I can take that sensitivity and I can take that to God, it can be beautiful. It's very effective in the job I do. It's very effective in with my sponsor. It just, it's a part, it's really a part of who I am when it's good. What's the bad part about sensitivity? Oh my God, I was with these ladies at a dinner the other night up in Boca, and we had pizza, and they took a picture, and everybody looked beautiful, and my eyes were white, like, you know, the devil eyes things with the, and they were laughing, and I was like, oh my God, they're laughing. They really think I look like the devil. Do I look like the devil? Oh my God. You know what I mean? It's like these things that we can. So in that sensitivity, do those women love me? They're my friends. It's beautiful. But in my head, like, this is where our, you know, that sense, I can be sensitive to the touch on something just ridiculous. Like, just, you know, like, if somebody yawns in this room right now, like, oh my God, they think I suck, and they're falling asleep, and they're looking at their clock, and it must be time to go home. You know, does anybody feel this stuff? Thank God. Okay, good. Good. Because this is our alcoholism. This is this stuff. And this is the stuff we need to be free from. And this is the stuff that we can, through God's love and through God's help, you know, what can I be? Oh, look at these antonyms. I didn't even know what the word antonym meant. I hadn't heard it since high school, and I was smoking weed back then. But, you know, here's the antonyms for jealousy. I'm going to go back to that a minute. To be calm, to be content, to be undoubting, to be unworried, to be confident, satisfied, and trusting. Holy smoke. Is that beautiful or what? When I'm competitive, I'm not non-competitive, then I'm a team player. We high-five each other, right, guys? When I'm not hypersensitive, I'm calm and I'm laid back and I'm loose. I like that. When I'm insecure, I think I've pretty much showed you that I'm pretty insecure. I can be at ease. I can be calm. I can be happy and peaceful and quiet and certain, and I can be composed. I can be those things. Those are the attributes of God. That's what I want. Doesn't that sound like God? Doesn't that sound? But that's available to, that's all of us, guys. So as I am transparent about this stuff up here tonight, it's like, this is the stuff that we keep locked up inside of us, that, you know, that we can be in a room full of broken toys, like Pete says. We can be in this room and we can be all sucking it up with 60 days if my sponsor knows this, if I don't do that, and we can stay locked up, or we can be free. And we can be free of this stuff. And it's beautiful. You know, we begin, it says in step 5, this is where we begin to have, in step 5, at the end of step 5, in step 5 promises, we begin to have a spiritual experience. And it's a pretty cool spiritual experience when a woman tells Peter his 5th step in line, and I can just go up and give her a handshake and say, hey, I'm Marion, you got a sponsor. You know? That's a great spiritual experience. Or, you know, we can line up and we can do the tunnel after yoga ball, after the other team made me mad, you know? Or instead of judging somebody, I can go, you know what? Wow. Oh, here's a story. This is a cool one. So one time, I was at my Northwest home group in Bellingham, Washington. And, you know, I always talk about the, you know, Hank Parkhurst and his story, and our Southern friend. I got it right? Okay. Got the right name and the right title. Yes. And Hank says the thought with a voice. And you know, I had a few years under my belt, you know, that 3 to 5 year mark when we start going, same meeting, same people, same this, same that, here we go. We're just, you know, we can be a little complacent. Just an observation I've had in my life because I went through it. And I went into my home group and I sat down and immediately I sat back and I was judging. I was like, great, if she shares, I'm gonna hear this. If I hear Jack talk about carpet laying anymore, I don't know. And if Dixie talks about knitting, I'm just gonna puke. You know, and all this stuff, you know? Like, I was looking around the room. I was looking around the room and I was just judging people. And because after all, I'm at 3 to 5, I'm still doing the same home group, and you know, I'm as complacent as heck. And I'm sitting in that home group, and all of a sudden, my heart turned to prayer. And thank God, you know, thank God, my heart turned to prayer. And in that moment, the thought with the voice said, I wish you could see them through my eyes. You could see them through my eyes. And it was a profound moment with God. It was a profound moment with God. Because I was able to look around the room and God started showing me stuff like Jack the carpet layer. He would say the same thing every day. When you got your health, you got everything. And God was like, I love it when he says that. Oh, Dixie's such a good knitter. Like it when he wears that cowboy hat. You know, things like that. Like, I just looked around the room and I saw it different. I saw it different. That didn't happen because all of a sudden Marion did something right and I could see it different. It came because I was like grossed out by how it felt inside of my heart of how I was looking at God's kids. Like, I don't have, you know, that's not my job. How awful that felt inside of me. Because what does that do ultimately? I'm sitting in my home group and what am I going to get out of that meeting? What am I going to get out of that? And I'm going to be separating myself from you first. That would be like me sitting here and pulling you guys all up. It was awful. And it was a profound moment in my life. And you guys will have that stuff in your recovery. And you'll have that stuff in your sobriety. Where there's moments that you go, wow. And one of the things I quickly do today. Quickly do. Sometimes quickly. Sometimes slowly. Is to go back to that place. Like, God, just let me see them through your eyes. I want to see people through your eyes. And here's even a harder part. That's hard, you know, at a moment. But it's like, yes, all of a sudden your heart just tenderizes. But how do I see myself through God's eyes too? How do I see myself through God? Can I give myself a little bit of a break? Can I say I'm 59, I've got some miles on this body, and, you know, and this dress wraps my hair in a knot in the back, and my feet are killing me right now, or whatever that is. Can I just cut myself a little break too and know that any of these edges that are going to get trimmed off of me, any of that in the hands of the Master, in the hands of the Master, he can make me whole. And he's the only reason I can get whole in the first place. I can't control it and I can't manage it. It's up to God. I think there was a couple more knowledge bombs I wanted to drop on. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so I was thinking about this, that what we get to do, you know, old timers used to say this, that, you know, we're not bad people getting good. We're sick people getting well. And what we get to be here with each other in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the sacred rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the beautiful rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, is we get to be soul friends. And the more that we can share our vulnerability and go, man, you're just like me. I'm just like you. Wow. What power is in that, guys, right? You know, this disease wants me dead. This disease wants me drunk. This disease wants me to shut my mouth, wants me to separate from you and have its way with me. It is like the boy whistling in the dark, waiting in the background, waiting for me on any given day, on any given moment, full of my character defects, full of fear, full of resentment, full of these 30 things, and then it's going to tell me it's got me. And just like I told you last week, you know, drink in hand. Recoil like a hot flame. I don't ever want to be in that position again today. I don't ever want to be in that position again that I end up with a drink in my hand and I have no idea how it got there. Because to me, to drink is to die. And I know that today. So we get to stay busy. We get to stay vulnerable. We get to be soul friends. And we get to be able to share our hearts with another. And we get to be not better than and not less than. We get to just share this journey shoulder to shoulder together, right? So I think that's all I have on that tonight. Thanks, guys.
We all thank Marion one more time. And now I'm going to bring up Mark for the secretary's report. Yeah, Mark.
Where am I at? Over here. So, hi, my name is Mark, and I am a recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. As the baskets are going around, I've asked Tanisha to come up here and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. So here's Tanisha.
Tanisha, recovered alcoholic. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you, Tanisha. 1940s Big Book style sponsorship in the foreword to the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% of them got sober at once and remained that way. 25% of them sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Can I please see a show of hands of recovered alcoholics in the room tonight? It's quite a bit. Does anyone in the room need a sponsor tonight? Who's going to sponsor this? One, would you please stand up for us? So all you folks with your hands raised that are trying to sponsor, take hostage of him after the meeting and get him back to God. Last meeting of the month, we did that last week. A couple quick announcements. I don't have the projector screen, so bear with me. Broward County Intergroup, if anyone needs supplies like big books, medallions, other literature, that's where you go. You can get with me if you don't know where it is. BCIC, I think they're having a meeting tomorrow night, February. The information's all going to be in the back anyway, but BCIC, if anyone's interested in bringing meetings into jails, institutions, places like that, they meet. They're meeting next week sometime. So other than that, Spring Fling is coming up next month. There's a chili cook-off. Most importantly, June, we're doing the Fellowship of the Spirit in this room and the building across the street. So we're going to have Mickey and Marie flying in from Colorado. Mickey's the AA speaker. Marie is the Al-Anon speaker. We did it here last year. It's a great time. And finally, please join us across the street Monday nights where the Big Book comes alive. We do a Big Book study. It starts, fellowship starts at 6:30. The meeting starts at 7:15. Please bring your Big Books. Also, we have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, little red Big Books, and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday, promptly starting at 7:15. We ask you to be courteous and be ready to begin at the sound of the bells or the Road to Recovery tune. See you next week. And one last announcement. There's a quick 75-foot no smoking rule that usually applies when we're across the street, but if you go outside here, you're going to see where the coffee's set up. If you could just smoke there, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for all joining us tonight. I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night Big Book study, again, 7:15. And anyone who would like to personally thank tonight's speaker, just please line up down the center aisle. And then we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer seated. Our Father.
I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah, the only thing that I can do is I'm praying, 'cause on my own I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. Load is heavy, too much accumulation. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all, and I am willing to hand over every one of them, 'cause they won't profit me anything. Stronger.
just can't get you right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. On my own I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger.
Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby. Yes, when you're laughing. When you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope
thank you. Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Fog is lifted. See the light, count my blessings when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Fear has left me and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time, sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white light to set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, and I'm about to dry. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's on my side. For the first time in my life, are green now, growing vines. We twist and turn each way, flowers blooming all the time outside my door. Never before I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. This broken man had traveled far and wide, drew the great divide through his own heart, yeah. Well, I have a life today when it give away and it's just about to start. Show up and plug in my guitar, and I play my songs, and people sing along, and stomp their feet and raise their arms. And here in this moment that we share, nothing could come in. Lessons when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Yeah, I dream now, and everything's all right. Oh, man. Going on 10 years old, that song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.